If you visit Seattle, you may be moved to take home a Native-themed souvenir. In this city named for an Indian chief, we've got everything from t-shirts to carved wooden masks. The market for Native-themed goods is huge, but many local Native Americans believe consumers need to understand what they're buying. KUOW's arts and culture reporter Marcy Silman has more.
Let me show you the picture of the pole.
Catherine Bunmar-Hughes scrolls through the photos on her computer.
So here's the pole in Stanley Park that was made by Charlie James, who was a Kwakwaka'wakw artist in the early 20th century.
This totem pole features a thunderbird extending its white, black, and red wings. Bunmar-Hughes pulls up a second picture. It's of a woman in skin-tight clothes that look almost exactly like the thunderbird. She even has fabric wings that dangle from her arms. It's athletic gear designed by Adidas.
It's so incredibly inappropriate that you've taken this pole, which represents chiefly prerogatives and markers of land and heritage and community, and you've made it this tracksuit.
Bunmar-Hughes is curator of Native American art at the University of Washington's Burke Museum. She says this tracksuit's just one of the more visible examples of non-Native appropriation of Native design. You see it everywhere, from ceramic mugs in souvenir shops to clothing in big department stores.
And when I go to the mall and I see something with Northwest Native art on it, it's so familiar to me. It's almost like seeing a family photo on that product.
Seattle artist and entrepreneur Louis Gong spent most of his childhood with his family on the Nooksack Reservation near Bellingham. His Pike Place Market store, Eighth Generation, only sells work created by Native American artisans. Everything from sneakers or skateboards adorned with Native designs to high-end furniture and fine art. Gong's not completely opposed to non-Natives who adapt Native themes.
I think there's a healthy way to be inspired by Native art and Native themes, but those healthy ways don't include Googling Native art, finding something that you like, changing the colors and throwing it on a product, and thinking it's okay because it's legal.
The 1990 Indian Arts and Crafts Act says you can't market non-Native made art as authentic Native American, but it doesn't say anything about non-Natives who adapt Native design. In this country, intellectual property laws don't explicitly cover traditional Native cultural expression, like totem poles. Catherine Bunmar-Hughes of the Burke Museum.
The notion of copyright comes out of a very Western framework of intellectual property, that it is the creation of a single individual. And we do not have, in U.S. copyright law, the ability to copyright something that comes out of a communal setting.
Like a totem pole, a chieftain's feathered headdress, or imagery that dates back centuries in tribal history.
You have the legal issue of who made it? Are they a recognized artist from a Native American tribe or Alaska Native? But there's the other, much more murky world of cultural appropriation and all of the things that get sold with Northwest Coast style designs that may or may not be made by Native artists.
I think cultural appropriation is when people take from a culture and look to benefit from it financially.
Artist Louis Gong estimates the annual market for Native-themed goods in this country is hundreds of millions of dollars when you factor in big companies like Adidas. The federal government's General Accounting Office says it's impossible to give a precise figure. No national database tracks Indian arts and crafts sales. Gong wants consumers to think about how and where they spend their dollars on Native-themed goods. Burke Museum curator Catherine Bunmar-Hughes agrees.
We all think about this all the time with so many things we buy. How is it that we can be an ethical consumer these days? And I think that applies to both the food that you buy and the artwork that you bring into your home.
In Seattle, I'm Marcy Silman, KUOW News.